Morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. So today we have Psalm 16, a Miktam of David. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen from me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, and with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I had a visit from Janet Kilby. You know Janet Kilby and Bob Oakley? You may not understand. They're not with us anymore because they moved 40 minutes away on the other side of the bridge. But I had a visit from Janet just before I went to Argentina. And she gave me this book. It's called The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, as well as a professional writer named Douglas Abrams. So this week and the next couple weeks, I'm going to be sharing some of this with you as it goes hand in hand with much of God's word to us. Janet said to me when she handed me the book, "This filled my spirit, and I wanted to lend it to you." So I dropped it in my carry-on bag as I was just about to head out. Little did I know that I needed something that would be talking about joy when I was in Argentina. The Dalai Lama and former Archbishop Desmond Tutu had this professional writer come together when they wanted to come and celebrate the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday. They had come together as friends in different leadership capacities and somehow became almost like brothers. I saw one picture that when Desmond Tutu got off the plane in India and the Dalai Lama was coming to him, the Dalai Lama actually blew him a kiss. Can you imagine? That's joy. In the book, they talk about how, and I quote, "No dark fate determines the future. We do. Each day and each moment, we are able to create and recreate our lives and the very quality of human life on our planet. This is the power we wield. Lasting happiness cannot be found in pursuit of any goal or achievement. It does not reside in fortune or fame. It resides only in the human mind and heart, and it is here that we hope that you will find it," they say to the readers. And they go on to write that this book of joy is meant to be a blessing for all of God's children. Notice, all of God's children, including you. But friends, though the book neither tries to tell you that a faith system or any type of religion is what will bring joy, it's woven in here. It talks about our faith beliefs. It talks about the Lord leading you. And it tells about the anchoring of joy in us that is not just a temporary reality because of an incidental happiness, but true joy. And I think our psalmist knew it too. Verse 1, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." I think you have to know some kind of joy to know that you take refuge in God. Amen? Verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." How many of you come here each Sunday hoping to hear and see God and have joy? Yes? Yeah. I've often wondered how, If Jesus knew what was going to happen to him in the end with the torture, disrespect, betrayal, the crucifixion before him, how he kept his joy heading into that. Now, yes, he may have known about the resurrection too, but man, that's an ending after a lot of torture and pain, the worst that the Romans could do to him at the time. To keep joy and teach joy in the midst of it is amazing. So then I started looking at these two men, which I've never seen a picture. I couldn't find a picture. I actually looked for a photo where I didn't see them smiling. Can you imagine? I have lots of photos, I think, of me that I'm not smiling, right? What is it about these two men who are renowned for having smiles on their faces and joy in their hearts that little else is showing through, even though they've gone through things that you and I would not want to go through? The Dalai Lama was seen as the next Buddhist leader when he was only 2 years old and taken from his mother so that he could live among the monks in 1937. His story of escaping the Chinese in 1959 tells a lot of types of suffering, let me tell you. His government, even though he stepped down as the political leader of the Tibetan people in 2011, he still remains their spiritual leader. The government is still in exile, like himself in Dharamshala, India. Known for his compassion, nonviolent standings, and interfaith dialogue, the Dalai Lama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989. Now, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was a native of South Africa and one of the poorest of the black areas in South Africa. And although he and his wife went to seminary in the UK, they felt a calling to go back to their people and help them out of the highly racist and violent structures of South Africa made by the white Afrikaners. Though never jailed or tortured, from what I can find out, the Archbishop has done so many funerals that he said his fallen brethren had fallen so many times he had lost track of them. He initially was trained as a teacher, but after the apartheid government imposed inferior education in what was called the Bantu Education Act, he pursued priesthood. He was ordained as an Anglican priest in 1960 and over time reached the highest level, being the first black archbishop in Cape Town from 1986 to 96. Now, unfortunately, Desmond Tutu passed away in 2021, but in his life, he advocated for nonviolent resistance, economic sanctions, and equal rights for all citizens. His courage and moral clarity made him a global symbol of justice and reconciliation, too, and he himself won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1985. What I liked hearing was that he emphasized forgiveness and healing rather than revenge. Forgiveness and healing rather than revenge. Archbishop Tutu came to Candler School of Theology, and I had the pleasure of him being in one of my smaller classes one time. He and his daughter were there. And the thing I remember the most, I hate to say it, is his laughter, because it was like this cackle, and you couldn't miss it. If he laughed, you knew who it was. The joy exuded from him, though. So with the Lord by our side, I want to start these 3 weeks, and I want to look at how we procure joy. Then we'll go into things and how they can try to stand in our way of joy next week, and yet we can keep it in our hearts. And then we will look at the third week at the pillars of joy that come together with Jesus' teachings, kind of like two hands clapping, if you ask me. Joy in the Lord our God. I say again, joy in the Lord our God. It's not a temporary happiness which is dependent on what's going on in our lives. If we work on our faith and our trust in the Lord, joy is not temporal, as joy is not the absence of pain and suffering. Fortunate or not, joy is not just when we're in that happy place in our lives. It gives us rooted stability. It gives us something to choose, especially when we have God by our side. To have joy and be with the Lord is that God is always there, just like our song was saying, right? I have that joy in my heart. And when we go through the suffering and bad times, if we can remember that God is standing next to us, that God is holding our hand, that God is with us always and everywhere, maybe that joy can come through when it's the hardest to come through. Amen? We can temporarily forget this point, though, and the book goes on to say that sometimes fear and doubt, anger, come in the way of joy. To realize that joy can come back to us when we realize that joy is not fragile, but sturdy, like God, right? Like God. It is with help and practice that we keep in the place of being joyous every day. I think that Jesus was trying to put in some joy into the disciples as he taught one of the lessons that's in John. John 15, 5 through 12. I think that Jesus knew, of course, that he would be leaving them and that they would have to have a lot of joy and belief in the Lord in order to go on with the work that he was leaving them with. Read with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So be see clearly the love, the center of God and of Son, Christ Jesus. And love is central to the joy of the Lord within us. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we need to say these things out loud, don't you think? And hear it again. To hear how Jesus set things so that we know that we are the vine and the branches. To know that we can stay in love with God no matter what we're doing or what's happening to us. So that we can have that joy and trust. I think joy goes right hand in hand with love, don't you? We have other scripture that speaks not only of loving others, but being central to our communion with God and God's wishes speaks also about serving others, watching out for others, seeing that others are given justice in this world, and that all of this brings us closer to having lasting joy. From Galatians 6:10, so then we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Luke 6:31, the golden rule, do to others as you would have them do to you. Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. From the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. Is my favorite verse. He has told you, O man and woman, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can memorize that one, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 16:11, in your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. When asked about whether joy is just a feeling that comes or goes, both the Dalai Lama and Archbishop nodded their heads no. No, joy is a way of approaching the world, and only when we realize that we are interdependent souls, not independent human beings, interrelated, but made to be compassionate, made to be complementary, but that there are then things we need to teach the next generation which lead sometimes to losing that knowledge and do not allow us to practice that joy at all. That's where we get lost, they said. I mean simply to say, said Archbishop Tutu, that ultimately our greatest joy is when we seek to do good for others. Can you imagine? One thing a bishop says that will give you joy is to seek to do good for others. I mean, we are wired to be compassionate, he said. We are wired to be caring for the other and generous to one another. We shrivel when we are not able to interact. And now remember, this is before COVID, so he's speaking. I mean that in this part of reason why solitary confinement is such a horrendous punishment. We depend on each other in order for us to be fully who we are. The Archbishop then went on to explain a concept called Ubuntu. Have any of you heard of that? Ubuntu? Yes? It says a person is a person through other persons. And his example was such that in life, if you are given a piece of bread, it's a benefit to you once you share it with someone else. Once you share it with someone else. I love that concept. The Dalai Lama seemed at that time, though, to be a little skeptic, and he saw it was reading the faces, they say. There is that saying that we have of nice guys finish last. I don't like that saying, do you? Doesn't seem very Jesus-like to me. But maybe people were thinking that it was just hard enough to get up each day and go to work and make a living. And many people don't have it easy in life. Amen? The Dalai Lama then said, the reality, as the Archbishop mentioned, is that human beings are social animals. One individual, no matter how powerful, how clever, cannot survive without the other human beings. So the best way to fulfill your wishes, to reach your goals, is to help others and to make more friends. That's the clapping that I hear Jesus doing, don't you? But there's still a question. How do people possibly live with joy in a world that's filled with so much sorrow and suffering? They said, you show your humanity by how you see yourself not as apart from others, but from the connection to others. They gave an example of Doctors Without Borders, and I thought about that. Have you thought about Doctors Without Borders lately? I haven't seen them on TV lately, but they used to be on the TV on nightly news almost all the time, remember? They'd gone to Africa to help with Ebola. They've gone to South America to help with dengue and other diseases that I can't even pronounce. But they could have just stayed home. These are all doctors, they're all educated nurses that have jobs and families of their own. They could have stayed in their own worlds and just been safe. But instead they went out and helped others as part of their calling. What is our calling? Where are we helping others? And what if you can't leave your homeland like the Doctors Without Borders? Well, they said in the book, start where you are and do what you can where you are. Amen? Amen, yeah. It may not be a great deal, said Desmond Tutu, but start where you are and do what you can where you are. And yes, be appalled. That was not what I was expecting for the next line. Be appalled. It would be awful if we looked on all these horrendous things, or horrendousness, he said, and we said, ah, it doesn't matter. That gets to the heart, does it not? If we're silent, are we saying it doesn't matter? So it's wonderful that we can be distressed. That's part of the greatness of who we are, that you are distressed about someone who is not in your family. Things matter. Speak up. Act appropriately to the injustices you see. Now I'm going to stop here today with one thought in mind. If you and I are to have joy, if we have the love like God loves, if we include love in the connections that we have, in the actions that we take, in our hearts that we hold, we can't just stand by idly. To show love and compassion in a way that brings you and I joy, in a way that is godly, and in a way that shows that we're not sitting back and letting others struggle without help, is God-centered. It is Christ-like. And I believe that that love thread, if you go to any major religion in the world, is there. Amen? But it certainly is in Christianity. Jesus, God incarnate, came to teach us what it would be like to have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth cannot be without love. It cannot be without joy. It cannot be without us being with God. So what can we get upset about and do something about, big or little, today? What can we help others with? Well, I know a million nonprofits, hospitals, nursing homes, schools, after-school centers, and I've just started the list that might need your help. If you don't know someplace, let me know. You have the church, too. It's not right to cause others harm, but it can be harmful to be silent, to not take our time, not put our shoes on, our gloves on, and walk out the door and help somebody else. And you know what? This book is telling us that helping others brings us the joy that we're all looking for. Joy, your joy and mine with the Lord by our side, by doing everything very holy and healthy for our fellow human beings, is in line with Jesus Christ and all his teachings. Joy comes in serving others, as the main servant of the world was Christ Jesus. Plain and simple. So let us serve in God's name. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, as we read other books, as we keep coming back to Scripture, let us put together what we need to know in this lifetime to be the best servants that we may be. Let us be your hands and feet, not just in words, but in actions. Let us speak up when we see injustice. Let us be there for others when they need a hug, a touch, a smile. And let us never forget that we are to pass on your love to others as you have loved us first. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.